Hello, friend, and welcome to the podcast of Canaan Christian Center, featuring the dynamic ministry of Apostle Craig Banks and Pastor Cheryl Banks. Set your heart to hear a life-changing and empowering word from God. Not just keep praising God where you're at. I want the glory. Anybody want the glory of God? Yes. That's what we're here for. I said that's what we're here for. Not at church, but in this earth. We're in this earth that the glory of God can be poured out and flow out and change things. Glory to God. We've been talking to you about the coming glory. And with the coming glory, some marvelous things will begin to transpire. But when the glory shows up, it actually shows up among dead people. I'm not talking about religiously dead. I'm talking about people who have made up their mind that I'm getting out the way. Because God told Moses, he said, nobody, no man can see my face and live. And we are redeemed. But when we see his face, 1 John said, when we see him, we shall be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. It's not even about me. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand. You have got to make up your mind. You're going to get out the way. Getting out the way is I lay me and all of my agenda and everything else down. And the only thing that matters is what you want. The very first miracle the Lord did was the wedding at Cana. And the disciples said, we beheld his glory. The gospel said it was the beginning of the display of his glory. This is what he was here for. You and I are here, born of God, for the purpose of his glory. We're not to live our life, do what we want to do, 20, 30 years, or however long you live. You're not here to just do what you want to do, and then somewhere down the road, you decide, okay, God, you can, if you can do anything, now you can use me. That means you've been your God. And then we reduce, am I talking to you? We have reduced Almighty God down to somebody who hands out trinkets when I get ready for him. Now, don't let me fall. You know how we're riding a bicycle, I'm starting to learn. Don't you let me go. Don't you let me fall. Don't you let me hurt myself. You're the one riding the bike. And if you're going to learn, you got to also figure in the equation, it may fall over because you don't know. It ain't gonna kill you. You just might scrape a toe. But at some point you get it. Then you ride and you don't fall. We gotta stop dealing with God like he's one of us. Everybody say, I want the glory. Now, I'm not going to be able to go through all this. This is what the glory means, because I've been preaching this for a while. You have to get the copy of the message and listen and meditate. Footnote. I'm just going to speak to you out of my spirit. The Lord said, many of my people are still in a perpetual struggle because of the issue of forgiveness. The Lord said in the Gospels, he said, when it's in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that you're to forgive men their trespasses. We think the word men just mean folks I know and folks I have encountered. But you can take offense even from afar. And he said, you got to get the whole thing clear. Forgive men. Well, I don't like them. They did. Because we got a lot of saints caught in the political arena. When I say caught, it don't mean that we're not to be involved. We are. But we're caught in party factions. And if there's a faction, you like your side, but you don't like the other side. So anybody on that side can offend you. Now you got unforgiveness in your heart. And you're coming before the presence of the King, trying to get him to take your side and be at odds with the other faction. He said, no, you got to forgive men of their sins. And the Lord said, there are several of you. You still holding stuff from yesteryear. You got to let it go. I said, you got to let it go. But you don't know what they did to me. God does. Will you let him? Will you let him walk you through forgiveness? Are y'all here? We think the glory is some goosebump session. Ooh, I feel glory. The glory of God comes, and there's a word that comes with it. Awe. I'm in awe of you. That's reverence. We live in America, and we reverence nobody but me. I respect you if you do what I want. And we come into our churches with little to no reverence or awe for God. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. If he shows up, we'll be like John in the book of Revelations. He fell on his face like a dead man. He was conscious, but he couldn't move. Nothing about him could stand in the presence of the King. Why? Because he saw him in his glory. The Bible says we are the body of Christ. Why is his glory not manifesting in his body? Hello. We've done him a disservice. And it's like, Lord, why? He said, there's a big issue of unforgiveness. So take a moment, everybody. Just drop your head and you settle that matter with him. It don't take all day for you to repent and forgive and release. And when you forgive and release, don't go back and pick it up. Let them go. Recent things and things from yesteryear. Let them go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, will y'all pull up that scripture for me? 1 Peter chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Ooh. We've been talking to you about the coming glory. The Bible says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Of course, in the Old Testament, when the temple was built, the glory of God manifested. And even in the Old Testament, the Lord, on multiple occasions, his glory would manifest as a cloud. And he even came down on Mount Sinai with Moses and the children of Israel, and he was enveloped in a cloud. He had to do that because if his glory, not tempered, had appeared to man, everybody would have been evaporated. Everybody. See, in our day and time, we live off Sunday school lessons that somebody said, this is God, this is what he looked like, and we dealt with him, and he was just, you know, he's this guy with a robe on, got some lambs, sheep following him. He got one lamb in his hands and his nails been done. And they say, that's Jesus. He looks soft, wimpy. He don't look like a king at all. That's who you follow. That's what you're supposed to look like. I even know some folks that were called to the ministry, and they come on now, in a day and time when men wear suits, they had on robes. I'm like, Jesus, come on now. He's more than some outward appearance. But the Bible describes him completely different. The end of the book says he comes riding on a white horse with a sword that has come out of his mouth, blood splattered across his chest, and a name that nobody else knows. And he got thousands of saints riding behind him on white horses. He takes no prisoners. He's the Lord of glory, coming in his glory with saints. Ask your neighbor, say, are you going to be one of those? They followed him, not riding with him. They followed him. He's the leader. That sounds like somebody that's a bad man. He's the same one that defeated all the forces of hell, stripped the devil of all power that he had. Now all he can do is lie to you and con you. But if you don't know that, part of his con is you can never be like Jesus. So you'll dumb yourself down because you don't know. And if you don't know, you will never be standing ready for his glory to manifest. And here you are, a part of his body that he can't manifest himself through. Politicians can't fix cities. It's the church that's supposed to do it. But we think somebody else is going to do it. God's going to use somebody else, but not me. If all of us thought that, then nobody moves and the city keeps going down. Where did I tell y'all to go? Hold that one. Hold that one. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Well, you don't even have to go there. I'll go. 1 Thessalonians 2. I want y'all to get this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Here's what the word of God says, and it's to all of us. We're to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You've been called, summoned by God into his kingdom, the kingdom that is above every kingdom. And his kingdom can never be shaken, but his kingdom will shake all other kingdoms. You've been called into an unshakable kingdom and his glory. What does his glory look like? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, or Genesis, when God created man, you know, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness and so forth and so on. And then God formed this body from the dust of the ground and then breathed himself into this body. And man became a living soul, or another being that functions just like God because he looks like God. If you saw Adam, you saw a spitting image of God. It's like God hocked him up and spit himself out. That's why the Bible said that Christ is the last Adam. He's the expression. If you want to see what God looks like, Christ is him in operation. This is me, but I think him and Adam look like twins. And God crowned this man with glory and honor. Here's God, light himself, and radiant, brilliant splendor is coming out of him. It can't help but come out of him because all that's in God is light. He is light. So when you encounter him, if you got anything shady, it's exposed. It can't help but be exposed because darkness cannot dwell in the presence of light himself. And so here's this man, Adam, and this woman, Eve. They are enveloped in the same light. Therefore, they can hang out with God. As they hang out with him, they start talking like him and functioning like him. Adam displayed it because the scripture said God brought all the animals before Adam and he named every one of them. When he named them, they knew who he was, what their place was with him, and they began to function according to what he called them. So it ain't like, okay, I don't know what that long neck thing is. I'm just going to call it a baboon. No. He gave it its nature. Adam didn't go to college. He hung out in light. He said, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We're created to do that. That's why Thessalonians says he has called you into his kingdom and his glory. Now, go back to 1 Peter, because I want to talk to you real quickly about the blood and the glory. See, we've taken redemption and made it something cartoonish. Well, you know, I'm saved. Your salvation doesn't stop at you coming into the kingdom. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. It includes your healing. It includes deliverance. It includes peace of mind. It includes all of that. So this ain't just no... Are y'all listening or am I just feeling... All I keep hearing is this ain't no game. This is not a game. When the church understands who she is, whose we are, and what he has already provided for us, we'll start taking serious things. Now, let me read this because 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear or in reverence. Oh, so you got a responsibility. Ask your neighbor, say, how are you conducting yourself? Does it look like the kingdom? Do you act like the king? Or is something else going on with you? We don't like holding each other accountable because we are worried about what somebody else thinks. So much so till we go for the approval of people versus the approval of the king. If you walk in the light, you will get delivered from people addiction. That don't mean you got no ugly attitude toward people. You just know what your purpose is, and you're focused on what the king has called you to do. Because when this is all over, you're going to stand before him, and a book on you is going to be open. And before you can stick your hand out and say, give me my reward, he's going to open the book. And the book on you is your purpose, your kingdom purpose. And part of it includes being called into the kingdom and into his glory. And he's going to talk to you about what you did and what you did not do in pertaining to what he called you for. So he wants to know, why are my people not after my glory? We think if we holler glory, then that's glory. That ain't glory. That's just you hollering out the word. But the glory of God is going to change the image that you've been functioning under. So we got a responsibility. He said, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here. Talking about in the earth. How are you conducting yourself? Conduct it in the fear of God. The fear of God is, I'm not afraid of you. It is, I respect you. I reverence you. Whatever you want. Part of the reverence is you just stop throwing his name out. Jesus, Jesus. Something happened. You hit your toe. Jesus. You know, he said, well, that's kind of petty. No, it's not. Because when you call his name, everything stops. Heaven stands at attention. They call the name of the king. They must want something. The Lord listens. And he finds out, oh, he's just throwing my name around. He's frivolous with the name that is above every name. He's casual with me. When you're casual with authority, you'll get nothing from that authority. Because your casualness is a disrespect. Verse 18, knowing, so you got to know this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct or lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers. Don't just do stuff because folks have been doing it for a long time. Well, you know, everybody in my family went to church. But what they do when they come from church? They talked about the preacher. We was all in the station wagon. I'm telling off on my time. Put 500 children in that station wagon. And you listen to them talk about how the preacher didn't do this and he ain't this and so forth and so on and all that. And they get on the phone, they talk, and they gun the preacher down. That was normal. And we wonder why we got to fight socially to get equality. We were dishonorable at church. So the power that would cause us to have success, we cut it off. Now we left to the arm of the flesh to try to get something done. Why do I feel like I'm sticking a blade in some hard soil? Verse 19, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Precious is not cute. Precious means costly. Precious means costly. An Old Testament example of how costly the blood was when they dedicated the temple, the temple that Solomon built, when they dedicated this beautiful place, they offered up, they sacrificed 22,000 oxen. Not 20 or 22, 22,000. That's a whole lot of mowing. Three oxen, the blood from three of them would fill up a standard bathtub. 22,000? It was a lake of blood around that place. And oxen were extremely expensive. And they sacrificed them. They were a type and shadow of what Christ sacrificed. So when it says precious, it's talking about costly. That was costly in the Old Testament, but it's a few pennies, if that, compared to what Christ sacrificed. We don't know the power of it, and you cannot come into the glory without understanding the blood. If you go to heaven, you'll find a pool of blood before the throne of God, and it's alive. The blood itself is alive. To get born again, you are actually dipped in that blood. Really, you ain't dipped, you're dropped in it. And the old you is destroyed in the blood, but the new recreated you comes out, up out of that blood, and you look just like Christ. We've been looking at this and saying, this is me, but you are in the book. The Lord Jesus, it's in Hebrews, I believe it's 10 and 7, and then it's over in the Psalms. It says, lo, I come. And then it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will. The volume of the book, what the Lord was saying, God, you got a book, and it's written about me, and I come to do nothing but fulfill from cover to cover what you wrote about me. If you go to Psalms 139, you find out the Bible says how fearfully and wonderfully we're made, and that all the days of my life were written in your book before they ever were. So all of us got a book that's inside of his book written on us. Have you looked in his book to find out what he wrote in the book about you? Say, there's a book on me. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or without blemish and without spot. Huh. Did you think he redeemed us to second class status? Then why do we live second class? Why do we go around with self-esteem issues? I'm saved, but you're playing down the power of the blood. When Adam ate of that fruit, he fell from the glory that he walked in. Same glory that belongs to God, he fell from it. The glory is still in place, but he got no way back into it. Adam could go anywhere he wanted to at the speed of thought. When he sinned, he was trapped in a short space. That's why people now live all their life and ain't never been nowhere. Hello. Scared to venture out. Afraid to dream. Afraid to enact what God has written in his book about you. Because we're concerned with what people will say. So when Adam sinned, here he is out of the glory. God, who's walking in his glory, knows that Adam is out. Because there's a marked difference between those that the glory rests on and those that the glory is not resting on. If you don't desire the glory of God, the best you can come up with is religious activity. When the Lord said we should lend and not borrow, you got to have substance to lend. You're not lending if you're handing out promises. That's too much. So if he said you shall lend and not borrow, then how come we're not lending? Something's wrong with the picture. It's not on God's part. It's because we not understood his, what he called us into glory. One of the means of glory is wealth. I'm telling you, I don't want church. I want him. And with him, I'll discover what the church actually means. It's a governing body. It's a group that's supposed to carry out his government mandate. So we've been redeemed by his blood. When Adam sinned, you know what God did? He didn't try to kill him. Oh, stupid joker, you done ate that fruit. I told you not to eat that fruit. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? You and Eve going straight to hell. That ain't what God said. If you go read the scripture, God never stopped dealing with them. And then he didn't get mad at his kids. The Bible said God took the skin of animals and covered them. You can't get somebody the animal's skin without them dying or their blood being shed. He instituted a blood covering. Why? Until he could get man in position so he can bring him back into the glory. You and I were created to walk and live in the glory. Wait a minute. Not when you get to heaven. Because Adam and Eve weren't in heaven walking in the glory. They were in the earth. They were created for the earth. And you and I were recreated to walk in this glory. So we got to start saying, I desire your glory. And to desire his glory means whatever you got to adjust in my life, start adjusting. If it hurt, I receive your grace to handle the hurt. I receive your grace to come out of the hurt. I receive your grace to be an instrument of your glory. Anybody want the glory? Pull up 1 Corinthians. Woo. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is verse 7 and 8. This is out of the Amplified Bible. I want you to see this. Say, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Say, that blood is costly. Can I tell y'all something? There is nothing that hell, devils, imps, demons, whatever their titles are, they can do nothing against the blood. If you understood the blood of Jesus, the blood has a voice. I ain't never heard nothing like that. Every blood has a voice. Cain killed his brother Abel, and the Bible said his blood has opened his mouth and is crying out to me for revenge. Every year that the high priest offered up sacrifices on behalf of Israel for a one-year agreement with God, it was a credit card. The blood of those animals that they offered up spoke and said, God, you got to give them one more year. But then God said, that ain't good enough because that's innocent animals. I need some person who is innocent, sinless, to offer up their blood for an eternal redemption. And Christ came and he said, God, I'm only here to do what you wrote in the book. And part of that is to offer up my blood. He did it once for everybody. Glory. Glory. And because of his blood, we are in. You're in because of the blood. Glory. Woo. Let me read this. Apostle Paul had to address the people at the church of Corinth. And these folks, they come from some of every kind of background. Some of them had spiked hair. Some of them had tattoos, so to speak. They were former bike riders, murderers. They were all of it. But now they're born again. The same blood that redeemed cute you, redeemed them crazy looking rascals. It don't matter where they come from, you just want to get in. And the blood gets you in. Woo! So Paul talking to him, and he says, talking to him about wisdom, he said, now, the way we rolling with y'all, what we giving you, This ain't no wisdom of this world, and it's not the wisdom of this world system governed by demons. This is another wisdom, God's wisdom. And he says, but what we're setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden. I want y'all to see this. And the Bible said Christ is our wisdom. Wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages. Wait a minute. Before he even created Adam, before he created the earth, God had already devised his wisdom and then made a decree. Once the decree come out of God's mouth, it's a done deal. Everything he's decreed about your life, he ain't going back scratching his head trying to say, well, I wonder if I got enough power to make that come to pass. And there's a whole bunch of them, you know, right here in the great state of Arkansas that's pulling on me and want me, you know, do I have enough? God don't ever think like that. Before we ever got here, before your purpose was ever written, God had already decreed it. Once he decreed it, then he writes it in a book. That's too much for y'all. See, we're around here tripping over stuff. I don't know, man. You don't know what I've been through. Everybody been through something. What are you going to do from this point forward? Are you going to grab hold of life himself and live? Or are you going to stay in this place and be full of criticism and complaints? So God devised a wisdom for your life. Say, for my life. And decreed it before the ages for our glorification. How come he didn't say for our salvation? Salvation is the door in. When you get through the door, glory. Then you start finding out this is what you're here for. That's why the devil fight for. He can't stop you from getting saved, but he don't want you to know what all you have been given through Christ Jesus. You'll never live victorious if you don't get through the door. So he devised this for our glorification. Look what glorification means. To literally lift us into the glory of his presence. Wait a minute. This is where Adam fell from. And God said, I sent Jesus to shed his blood. And if you receive what he did, he'll lift you back up into the glory. What's in the glory? Philippians said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Where? We're around here hollering, God, I need an extra $30, $40. Come on, if you get after the glory, you'll find that it's more than $30 or $40 laying around. Because God's already decreed and devised it for you. Everything you need, he's already decreed it. It's time for you to live. Look at somebody say, oh, the blood. We got crazy and stupid people in churches that say we don't want to talk about the blood because it scares the children. So they're taking the blood songs out of the hymn books. That's a calculated strategy by the devil. You got to learn how to make much of the blood. The cleansing blood. The blood shall never lose its power. If you go into heaven, you'll find that pool of blood before the throne of God. And it's saying some marvelous things about you. Speaking on your behalf. Before you go to bed at night, don't just rely on your alarm on your house. Devils can go past your alarm. But if you learn to draw a bloodline around you and your house and your possessions and your children, the devil will show up and have to stay right there. You get up in the morning and say, devil, I told you, nothing like the power of the blood. Yeah! Glory. And if you understand the blood, you can move on to embracing the glory. And when you embrace the glory, you discover it ain't about me. So you take me out the equation. I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. But it ain't me that's living. I laid me down. And Christ, hey, the one that shed his blood, he lives in me. I want the glory. Give me the glory. Woo! Glory to God. Why are you making so much about the glory? Because we come into this season. We're in a season. In this season, God is positioning and repositioning his people. It's a setup to give up. You missed that one. It's a setup to give up. When you don't understand the glory, you don't see why you got to give up. But when you see the glory, when you come in contact with the glory, when you understand the purpose of the glory, you say, here I am. I surrender. I give me up. I want your glory. People are tired of seeing you. They're tired of seeing me. They need to see Christ. Woo. Woo. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are y'all getting there? Elder Ross, there's a book inside of the book that's written on us. We won't get in the book. Therefore, we never discovered the book written on us. Why won't we get in the book? We don't see the value in it. We've been listening to another voice that said it don't matter. You just go to church and God said everything is all right. No, he didn't. He said, get in the word. The word has to be first place in your life. You can't deal with a demon in your strength. I heard somebody say on TV the other day, talking about the political situation, and they said, the Republicans come to a fight with guns. The Democrats come to a fight with a pocket knife. That ain't no fight. Then when one gains ground, the other mad. That sounds like children. And the Lord said, what should I liken this generation to? He said, children playing in the marketplace. The kingdom is supposed to show up in the marketplace and say, hey, all of you stop acting like children. This is how you're supposed to do things. Woo. Where did I tell y'all to go? First, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read something to you and I'm going to let you go. I think. I want the glory. When you want the glory, you don't waste God's time when you come to his house. When you want the glory, God get a group of people that show up and say, God, I want your glory. I want to see your glory manifest. God will start service out in the parking lot. Woo. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Y'all sit down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. When you see therefore, you need to find out what is there for. Since we have this ministry, what is the ministry we have? It's called a ministry of righteousness. Moses had a ministry, but it was the ministry, it was called the ministry of death. When he went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to meet with God, he walked into a thick black cloud. It was so scary, it shook everything and everybody. And the people of God didn't want to go into the cloud to meet God. They told Moses, you go. Whatever he tell you, we'll do it. But tell him, don't talk to us because we can't stand his voice. They were scared of him. They ran. Moses saw the same thing and went in. What are you doing? And Moses came down off that mountain. God had given him the Ten Commandments. When he come off that mountain, he had been in the presence of God's glory. And it showed in his face. And the Bible said, the ministry of death, because the law couldn't produce salvation. It just showed you that you needed it. The law was called a ministry, and it had glory. And he said that that glory was fading. When Moses left the presence of God, the glory started fading. The fading glory, the people couldn't look at it. He had to cover his face with a veil. But they didn't know it was fading. They couldn't handle the fade. But the scripture said the ministry that we have in Christ, this glory is, this ministry is a ministry of righteousness. It does not fade, it increases. Can you imagine God's splendor? It's so bright. It's brighter than seven suns. And it's increasing. That's the glory that resides in you. But if I don't know anything about it, every little dark devil that come up and say, ha, and we, oh, Lord, there I go. Oh, we got any prayer warriors around here? I need the church to stop what they're doing and come pray for me. What's going on, Reverend? Oh, the devil outside my window next to my bed. Every time I turn around, something going on. Crying over a defeated devil. Everybody say glory. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Mercy ain't just, okay, you're going to be all right. I ain't going to kill you this time. Mercy is God's active power to remove the stress from your life. Wait a minute. God's power ain't never dormant. It ain't never turned off. It's always active. Will you tap into it? Everybody say glory. Glory. See, when you're facing stuff, stop crying over it. The Bible said we're to learn to shout grace, grace to it. When you shout grace, grace to it, you can also say glory, glory. I turn the glory loose on you. Now let your problem and let that devil deal with the glory. Some of you stand up at night, you can't sleep because of trouble and stuff going on with you. You don't know about my children. You don't know about my grandchildren and my cousin and my auntie. You know, Uncle Tebow's them boy. You don't know how, oh, they just, oh, God. Oh, they just, no, when you understand the glory, you don't trip out over them because they got a drinking problem or a drug problem. You take them, take their name before the throne of God and say, glory. God, release your glory in their life. I plead the blood of Jesus. All of a sudden, angels show up out of heaven on Uncle T-Boy's, on T-Boy's son's life. And the son of David like, wait a minute, I don't want to drink no more. They come running down the aisle, fall at the altar. What must I do to be saved? The glory brought them in. Wait a minute, wait a minute. We got this ministry of righteousness. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. If you don't have a prayer life, you're going to lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. If you got any shame in your game, renounce it. God's not putting shame on you. Christ took all of that. So everything that's going to hinder the glory, you start renouncing it. I renounce lying. I renounce hypocritical ways. I renounce being two-faced. I renounce all this stuff. I renounce being a thief. I renounce being a big liar. I renounce all of this because I want the glory. He wasn't talking to lost people. He was talking to saved folks. Renounce that. Hey! Renounce it. Renounce it. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Stop trying to use the word of God and get what you want. Got preachers do underhanded stuff trying to get money. Trying to look big. If you die, you don't have to worry about that. Because dead folks stand in the presence of God. Here we go. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let me pause here for a second. Listen, listen. You got to learn how to commend yourself to every man's conscience. How am I living? How am I living? Is my life operating in such a way that I will violate the conscience of other folks? And in the sight of God. So back it up and say, okay, Lord, is my life a witness that you want? Because if it's not, I'm tampering with somebody. You could be the reason somebody's on the way to hell. Now, that's a scary thought. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting or manifestation of the truth. What is your life manifesting? It's either truth or a lie. I can't hear nobody now. It was a bunch of folks hollering a while ago. Now, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, this is what the devil's after. If he can get your mind, not your brain, your mind, your beliefs and your value system. If he can cloud that up so that you never see and experience the power of God's glory, there won't be any transformation. If there's no transformation, you'll never be transformed into the image of the glory. The glory won't be seen in your life. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Wait a minute. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now he just said, it's called the gospel of his glory. Another place is called the gospel of his grace. They're the same. It ain't two or three different gospels. What's the gospel? Good news. What was the good news? The gospel. What was the gospel? Good news. And what's the, what? And now we're confused. I'll tell it to you straight and short. It's his grace. And his glory. His grace got you in the kingdom. And his grace brings you to the glory. And his grace empowers you so that you can receive more layers and levels of glory. As you do, he pulls off this old thinking. Say, I was made for the glory. All right, let me get to where I was trying to go. Because y'all a good group, but y'all too rowdy. Y'all don't sit down and just get it. You know, you got to do all that hollering and stuff and shouting hallelujah and getting excited like you really understand, like revelation knowledge has come to you. Glory. Can I tell you something? One of the major things that the devil is afraid of, I just read it to you, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, he don't want you to get an understanding of the glory. And you'd be like, wait, you telling me I laid down all these years, let the devil walk all over me? But when you get an understanding, a revelation of his glory, of his grace, of his blood, you know what's going to happen? He's going to restore to you the years that the devil had walked all over you. Yeah. And you got to learn how to believe that. Wait a minute. I've gotten to this age. God, are you telling me you can do something? He said, go look at Abraham. Go look at Sarah. If I did it then, I'll do it now. Glory. Okay. Two more scriptures. Three. For we do not preach ourselves. Why? Because you're dead. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your bondservants for Jesus. What? When you preach about the glory, you got to present yourself as a servant of the Most High God. Look at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And look at verse 7. We have this treasure. We have this treasure. Where? In these earthen vessels. What? What is the treasure? It's the glory. You got the glory. You got the glory in this earth suit. You got the glory in you. You got the glory. Y'all ain't getting it. We run around here looking, where the glory at? Where the glory at? Where the glory? God is the Father of glory. Man fell out of the glory. So he created a body and sent the Lord of glory to redeem man by shedding his blood. Redeem man that had fallen into sin, recreate him and bring him back to the glory. And then the Son, the Lord of glory, sent the Spirit of glory to dwell in us. Now you got this treasure in this earth suit. Your body might have limitations, but the glory is not limited. Come on, shout it out. Say, I got this treasure called the glory in this earthen vessel. I don't care what you're going through. You got to learn how to stop looking at what you can see and turn your eyes to that which is unseen and that which is not seen. We'll do away with what you see. I want the glory. I want to walk in the glory. I want to live in the glory. Can I tell y'all something? When you embrace the glory, you ain't got to worry about how you're going to leave this earth. You'll be like Smith Wigglesworth. The Lord let him know when it was time for him to go. He got up in the morning, had breakfast with his beautiful wife, and they talked, and he said, well, I'm leaving now. Got up, went in the living room, laid on the couch, stretched out, crossed his arm, left. Well, I wonder if I'm going to be in a car wreck. Who cares? I preached a message one time years ago. It was called, when you leave, what will be your testimony? A couple from the East Coast had come to the service, and they went bananas over it. They came back a couple years later, and they said, we heard that message. It revolutionized our life, and we started preaching it. I hope you didn't mind. I said, it wasn't mine. I got it from the Lord. They preached it, and he said, my grandparents were in a car wreck. It was a bad car wreck, and they died. But the paramedic, when they checked them, they said they left before the wreck. Both of them left. And they said they should have been mutilated. But it was stuff all in the car that looked like popcorn. They didn't know what it was. It served as a cushion. But they had left before they needed the cushion. But the God we serve preserved even a physical body. And they had already left. I want the glory. When you embrace the glory, when you pray over your children, you don't pray sweating, you pray with confidence. We got flies and mosquito outbreaks. Spraying. I was out on the front porch spraying, and it, yeah, I was spraying, and I was in a cloud of the spray. And the Lord said, son, why don't you just speak to it? Wait a minute. I'm out here spending all my money on some spray. Die in the name of Jesus. You're a pest. And my God is the Lord of hosts. All you host of mosquitoes, die. You walk outside, it ain't but a few of them flying around. They don't touch you. Because they got the message from the last group. Mess with him, you'll die. I can't hear nobody in this sanctified church. We run around here. I'm tired of coming to church one way and leaving the same. You're supposed to come in here and get empowered. And you trust the Spirit of God. Yes, sir. Trust the Spirit of God so we can be a demonstration of his glory. Not a bunch of religious folks. It's time for us to walk in the glory. Now I got an assignment for every one of you. I want your prayer to be, Lord, reveal your glory. Give us your glory. The manifested glory. The Spirit of glory lives in you. The Spirit of glory is the Spirit of Christ. Christ is the express image of God. And the Bible says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He's a great big guy. But he chose to live in us. So all that he is parked on the inside by his Spirit. When you say, I want the glory, you're saying, God, I want you to manifest yourself through this earthen vessel. You got to be like Moses. God said, Moses, no man can see my face and live. Are you willing to die? I'm willing. For your glory, I'll do anything. That's what God's calling us to, folks. Lift your hands up right where you are. And I want you to open your mouth and say, Lord, I want your glory. Whatever it takes, start me fresh and anew today. So that your glory can be revealed. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to. We trust that you were blessed by this dynamic word. Visit us online at cccctr.org and allow Christ to reproduce his heart in you, the heart of the ideal servant.